Submerge yourselves too much. I mean, okay. Here we go. Let's play this game.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. We are here to podcast about anything and everything Star Wars with you. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kaileJohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabrkylejohansson.us. And now, it's time to talk Star Wars. I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say hello.
Hello, this is Rick instead.
Hello.
I don't know if Andrew's available or not. He hasn't responded to me, but we're recording at a weird time. As you can see, we're in a weird place, too. We got pictures behind us and pictures of my granddad's painted and stuff. And we're in a semi-dark room, hiding from everybody. Anyway, so this week we're going to review The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 9, called Harbinger. And then we're going to do an unboxing, which not really, Rick will see. We're going to do an unboxing, and then we'll go through the episode. So,
first time together.
Right.
Same spot.
We're in the same room.
It's a guinea pig attempt, but it's working.
Yeah, I'm a little close to the camera, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
Rick doesn't need to be in the spotlight.
Now it's time for unboxing.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. All right. So here's our box. My stabby tool. Oh, just kidding. Ah, April Fools, huh? All right. So let me cut her open here. Cut it open. Let's slowly open it. Ooh, what is that? That looks different. All right, let's get rid of the box. All right, here it is. 634. Can you see? Let me adjust something real quick. Yeah. You see him? It says Ned B. Look, there he is on the side. See the number 634. See that with all the Inquisitors on there? You know what that means? That means this is part of the Obi-Wan Kenobi collection. This is that big robot that was in the workroom with the workbenches and stuff, and you know, it was guarding the passage to the getaway tunnel thing for the Jedi stuff. So there you go. That's our unboxing of Ned B.
That was an awesome unboxing. That was just so cool.
It's pretty cool. Let's see.
Cool one. And then
I'm gonna do a spoiler alert now. We're gonna talk about everything about this episode.
Spoiler alert. Danger. You're about to be
spoiled. Got it. It won't go away, Rick.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I fixed it again. All right. Yeah, so we're, because we're in a remote location, yeah. Top secret location.
It's a secret remote location.
There's a little, couple snafus going on, but we're doing good. We're all right. So this episode, we had the director was Stuart Lee, writer was Jennifer Corbett, and it was edited by Matt Mitchovitz. And of course, the sound was all done by Kevin Kinner, Sean Kinner, and Deanna Kinner. Then we got the cast. And obviously, most of our cast was the Bad Batch, which is done by D. Bradley Baker. We had Hunter, Wrecker, Batcher, Crosshair. Omega is Michelle Ang. And we had a surprise guest, Assange Ventress. We think is played by Nika Futterman.
Futterman.
Something like that.
Futterman.
So that's our cast. I don't think I'm going to do a commercial just because. But again, we're reviewing Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 8, called Harbinger. Episode 9. Yes.
Episode 9.
You're right. And that's the wrong date on there, too. It was March 27th, I think, was the date that it aired on.
Oh, March 27th.
And it was 27 minutes. It says 28 here, but that's just because I'm lazy. And we're still in the same timeline, 18 before the Battle of Yavin, which I always tell everybody is before the first Death Star. But that means, you know, we got to pull up a chair, which Rick and I both have. And we both have beverages. We're ready to go. I left mine in the other room, but that's okay. I don't need it.
I can share.
So there's that. So let's get started with our episode. On Pabu, Wrecker and Crosshair help residents load a fishing boat. Hunter informs them that they haven't heard back from Fennec Shan. And Crosshair thinks that they should be hunting for answers. And Hunter believes that Shan's contacts can help them figure it out, what the M count is and why the Galactic Empire is hunting for Omega. Crosshair thinks it doesn't matter, while Hunter believes they need to be prepared. So Hunter wants the data. Crosshair wants to just go in and charge.
Yeah, I think he even says a comment about we don't know how we're going to fight if we're not prepared or something along those lines. Right. I don't remember exactly what it was, but
and I don't think they're going to find out enough information to.
No.
Be prepared for what's going to happen.
No.
I mean, that as we've seen, Dr. Royce Hemlock, he's pretty smart and pretty set up for what he's prepared for. And you saw the security system getting into that section.
Absolutely.
And then all the guards were there too. He's ready to go. He's not going to be like what's his name in The Mandalorian in the cave. You know, John Carlos.
Oh, yeah. Yes, or, geez, I can't think what his name is either now. All I can think of him is on a different show.
Grand Moff Gideon.
Yeah, Grand Moff Gideon. That's it. Yeah.
Picks being in it, but I got it.
Yeah. I don't know. They don't really know what's going on. I mean, we don't even know what's going on because they're not really using terms yet still. So we still hear the M count, and we don't know what the M count is.
Right. And as far as anybody in the show knows, you know, they don't, M count doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah.
They're just wondering what the hell's going on. All right. So meanwhile, Omega and Batcher are playing on a rocky beach when the Lorca Hound follows some Munoz, which are little, I don't know, not squirrels, but they're bigger, I guess.
Kind of like monkeys, I thought.
Yeah, maybe monkeys, into a cave, and Omega goes hunting around because Batcher keeps whining. Like, she's like, let's go. And Batcher's like, yeah. So she finds a starship. Some pale woman comes out and grabs her arm. And Batcher goes and retreats back to the team. I think it's just Hunter and Wrecker.
Yep.
That he sees. And he says, come on, there's something going on. Yeah. Exactly. out of the cave, blah, 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 and the mysterious woman is dragging Omega away. So, we're all concerned and we're like, oh my gosh, she's going to kidnap her and take her and turn her in for the M count, probably. That's the first thing I thought. Because I know that Sanj Ventress is kind of a sketchy character to begin with.
Ooh, we don't know that.
Oh.
Spoiler.
Oh, well,
Spoiler.
we did push the spoiler alert, but
Well, okay, I guess.
okay. So when confronted by the Bad Batch, the woman releases Omega and she chides the clones from failing to lay low, meaning that they're not doing a very good job of laying low. She focuses on Omega. When Crosshair asks who she is, the woman says that Fennec Shand sent her. Hunter is annoyed that Shand's contact was able to find them despite not giving her their coordinates. The woman is aware of their interest in the M count, which she describes as dangerous.
Ooh.
She asks why they're interested in the M count. As payment, she's willing to divulge secrets.
Which is interesting because she doesn't ask for any money or anything. She asks for information.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that's
She's
kind
got
of
she's kind of implying she's got an agenda of her own,
yeah, for
which
sure.
we never really find out what that is.
For sure.
Hunter responds that they've already paid Fennec Shand, and the woman tells them to take it or leave it. You can take it or I'm leaving it. Out of here.
See ya.
Omega says they are interested in the Empire because the Empire is seeking a friend. In
Yeah.
quotes.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah. Mysterious. They're doing some mysterious experiments involving M count, and the woman believes that the M count is something in the blood of living beings. I think she says all of us have it in some fashion or
Some,
whatever.
yeah, some amount.
Those with M count, with high M count, are believed to be more capable of wielding the force. The force.
Dum dum.
And this, I mean, we've seen force people in this show, but never one of our batchers, one of the clones. And that's obviously what they've been hinting at for a long time. But Hunter asks if this is connected to the Jedi. Because, most of the Jedi are the Force, there's the
As a
spit
force,
ton of Jedi.
yeah.
And Omega says that, asks if Asajj is a Jedi. And the woman replies that her blood does not make her a Jedi, but rather training does. The woman says that the Force-sensitive clones are unusual, and they are genetically defective clones anyway. Wrecker says that she's got that right. I'm defective and I know it.
All right on, brother.
The woman remarks that the Kamo produced millions of clones and warns that the Empire will hunt them down if they have high M count. She concludes that this is their intelligence before walking away. She concludes that this is what their intelligence is about before walking away.
Yeah, she doesn't really give much away.
Right.
She's kind of just playing her cards close and waiting to see what information they're gonna feed her. But I think is it yet when Omega makes the comment about oh, I'm a Jedi or something like
Yeah,
that?
she does. She does. She's
Yeah, like she kind of thinks after she says the M counts that that makes her a Jedi. So I think that was he said something about that about when she said the clones don't really have that, but the
right.
Kamoans maybe made a mistake or something.
Right. And right. The next scene, basically, Omega's asks if the Empire's is after her, if that's why the Empire's after her. A woman says she can't determine her midichlorian count.
Well, after her friend, not after her. They're after her friend.
Right. Without testing first.
Yeah.
There's a test. And Omega asks the woman to test her, saying that she can handle it. I'm okay. Oh, I mean my friend. I mean
Yeah, 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 yeah. My friend.
no, me. Okay. You got me. I was just kidding.
Whoever.
The woman warns the truth is not comforting, but Omega insists.
It was Wrecker. That's who she was asking about.
Yeah, exactly. Records with the That's why he's so strong.
Yeah, that's it.
The woman relents, but warns Omega that she asked for it. No.
Careful what you ask for.
Right, exactly. Later, the woman tests Omega on a rocky shore by getting her to balance a piece of fruit on her head and stretch her arms out, standing on one leg. I think that's kind of funny because it's, you know, not really a test, but...
I think I've seen that test done before on the side of a highway before.
Exactly.
I think for a friend, I watched a friend do that.
Right.
Once,
can you walk the line?
Yeah. Something about that in the alphabet too.
Backwards.
Yeah. That sounds like my friend told me that.
Yeah. That's why Miss Ray taught us the alphabet backwards in fire in high school.
So there you go. See?
Test.
Life skills are important.
When Omega asks what this exercise has to do with M count, the woman tells Omega to stop striving for balance and let go of her conscious mind. Omega is ignorant of this concept. When she slips, the woman tells Omega to try again. Wrecker tries to cheer Omega up, but the woman tells him that him and Hunter have to leave because they're a distraction. Hunter insists on staying and watching over them because they don't really trust her. When Omega asks, was she a Jedi, meaning was Asajj a Jedi, the woman confirms she is not a Jedi but knows about some of their ways. She tells Omega to concentrate and continue her test. Crosshair returns from consulting text files from the Republic archives and confirms that the woman is Asajj Ventress. When Wrecker asks why a separatist assassin would be helping them, Crosshair questions whether she is helping them or not. Because, I mean, she hasn't really given them any information.
Yeah, she doesn't really help. She just is there.
After Omega slips on the shore, Ventress asks what happened before helping her up. What happened before she helps her up? Ventress sends Omega to retrieve a white blossom from a weeping Maya tree, which is far away. And I think, that's not really a test. I think she's just trying to get her away so she can talk.
We can
to
talk. Yeah.
She can talk.
Because she said something about before sunset, and Omega looks over, and the sun is like almost setting, and she's, I can't make it.
Yeah.
I think she tells her she has to be creative or something, right?
Right. It says it's a colonnade before sunset. Omega starts to complain, but complies. With Omega gone, she wants the rest of the Bad Batch, whatever they're planning, won't end well for them. Because they're planning to basically ambush her attack her because they don't want her there.
Well, they know who she is now.
Yeah. She asks them to think carefully as she approaches them. Because, she's more powerful than they think.
Stop.
Stop. Not in the name of love. Meanwhile, Omega runs up the street, run through the street of Pabu in order to reach the Weeping Maya tree. With sun setting, she convinces Batcher to give her a ride so she can get there faster, which that's good.
Way to use the head.
Nothing to do with the force, but yeah, that's good. Back in the cove, Hunter and the clones demand that Ventress leave. Ventress refuses to leave until she has finished testing Omega. The clones aim their blasters at Ventress, but the former assassin uses the force and hurls the weapons away. All of them fly away at once. She warns them not to cheat as they charge at her. So she wants to fight evenly, but she wants to use the force, which is actually cheating.
Yeah, cheater. Just
yeah,
a cheater.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny, too. Ventress engages the Bad Batch in hand to combat. After several rounds, Crosshair manages to pin her down, but she breaks free. She then fights Wrecker before pushing him into the other clones. Following the fight, she asks Hunter and Wrecker if they have had enough. When Wrecker asks what she intends to do with Omega, Ventress suggests she could take Omega. While Ventress is distracted, Crosshair retrieves their firearms and returns them to his brothers. Ventress suggests she could take Omega.
Yeah, she
I didn't. I don't
she
know if I caught that part.
yeah, she suggests, she says, you know, basically she's not really, it's not in her best interest to stay with the Bad Batch, and she could take her and like train her. I don't know that she says that, but that's what she implies, that she should go with her and she'd
Yeah.
be safer and she would get like what she needed.
Right. And they wouldn't, you know, they're trying to build a an oasis there on that island.
Yeah, trying to build a home. That is their home, like right now, I would
Yeah.
say. Like,
They kept on telling all the other clones that they could come be there and be safe. So Ventress asks the Bad Batch to stand down, but Hunter replies that they don't follow orders. Yeah, they don't follow orders
Yeah,
very well.
not us.
We don't do that. With Batcher's help, Omega reaches the Maya tree and retrieves a white blossom before sunset. The Bad Batch shoots at Ventress, but she uses a yellow lightsaber. She pulls out her lightsaber finally and deflects the bolts. Ventress says they don't intend to kill them. She doesn't intend to kill them, but they are tempting her. They're starting to piss her off.
Yep.
Wrecker responds defiantly and she charges at them.
Which I thought was interesting. Her lightsaber was yellow. I mean, you know, we all know that like the different colors have different meanings, but hers
Right,
was yellow.
and yellow is, I think, is more of an in-between color. You know, meaning she's so there's a specific color also for what, the ones that do dark and light, the gray force people is what they call them, and I think that's what she's kind of become, is a gray force wielder. She doesn't. She's not a Sith and she's not a Jedi, but she still does the Force. She still believes in the practices. She just doesn't believe like the Jedi believe or believe like the Sith believe.
Yeah, she's using the force to her advantage and kind of her advantage necessarily. And she helps people out. She does and she doesn't. She's not using it to destroy, I think, anymore.
Right. When Omega and Batcher return, they find Ventress force choking Wrecker.
Wreckers off the floor, like really high.
He's like, okay, that's enough. When Omega asks what's going on, Hunter tells her that Ventress is a war criminal. Ventress responds that times have changed for both of them, because they used to fight for the Empire too. When Hunter disagrees, that they are the same, Ventress replies that they are both pawns who lost in the Clone Wars. She warns them that the Empire is more dangerous than they can fathom, and she tells them that she is not their enemy before walking away. Later that night, Hunter tells Omega that Ventress cannot be trusted due to her actions during the Clone Wars, and Omega disagrees and says that Ventress did not kill them when she could have had a chance. Wrecker disagrees and says that the clones were warming up to her.
Yeah, they were just warming up. They're getting warmed up.
Yeah, they're
They had
not
it right where they wanted
right.
as
They're
he's like,
not done. They weren't done fighting. Yeah, he was
yeah.
getting choked out.
He's choked 3 feet in the air, but he had it right where he wanted her, right in the palm of his hand.
And Omega says she doesn't know about the Clone Wars because she was all holed up on Kamino. Crosshair thinks Omega is naive, which she is, but. And we've seen that throughout the whole series that she's naive about everything.
Well, she hasn't had the exposure and the experiences that they've had, because she's been on Kamino and places, you know, where she was sheltered and protected.
Yeah, and I'm starting to wonder if she doesn't have the growth hormone in her either, because she seems to be growing up slowly
True,
and
true.
actually going through the, you know, teenage years or whatever. Like what, she's like 8 or 9 years old now or
Yeah,
something
yeah,
like that.
yeah.
Those terrible years. Crosshair thinks Omega's naive, and Omega counters that she never gave up on him when he was going through troubles. She urges the men to give Ventress a chance. Please, please. I won't sleep on the Marauder anymore if you don't give her a chance.
Homes for the gents. Homes.
The following day, Omega and Batcher find Ventress by the pier. Ventress is surprised that Omega returned, given what the other clones told her about her. Omega is aware of Ventress's actions during the Clone Wars, but compliments her by staying around. She believes that Ventress is trying to help and asks about the tests. She says, "Did I fail?" Ventress says, "You failed pretty badly, but it is evasive about the second test, the one where she had to go get the flower,
Yep.
which
Which wasn't a test.
really a test, no."
Yeah, it was just to get her out of her hair.
Right. The two depart on a boat while Bachelor stays behind. Ventress is unnerved about Omega's smiles, and she finds it unsettling. Ventress takes Omega to the deep waters and explains that the fourth sense of an individual's have an affinity with nature and connect with things that respond to their energy. She activates a blue platform and tells Omega to reach out with the force for anything, just anything. And back in the Pabu, Wrecker is uncomfortable about letting Omega spend time with Ventress. Hunter reminds him that they promised Omega to not intervene, and they're looking through these binoculars.
Yeah, they're like,
I can see everything, so it's not, I guess, a big deal. It's just far away.
yeah, they're just like old, they're like older brothers keeping
Right.
an eye on their sister because, you know, they're gonna jump on her all if they have to, but otherwise they're keeping their distance, but they're, you know, keeping an eye out too.
Yeah, and they showed Wrecker's looking through his binoculars, and Ventress turns around and looks right at him. He's like, "Oh
How
shit."
did she see me? How did she know we were here?
Yeah. He doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Ventress just demonstrates her force powers by summoning up a shoal of luminescent green rays. However, she also accidentally summons a large sea monster with a thick shell. Looked like actually a giant turtle,
Yeah,
right?
kind of. Yeah.
That's what I thought of it. I mean, even the mouth, because the mouth
Yeah.
is kind of jagged and stuff
Yep,
like a turtle
the
is.
jaw.
Exactly. A thick shell, and it has tentacles too, which is kind of not a turtle, but
Yeah.
it was known as a V-Rathene is what it's called. And I'm going to click on this link just so we can see what it says. V-Rathene is a huge type of tentacled deep sea animal, bioluminescent, rarely seen, because it's in such deep waters, and is huge in size, about 30 meters in length. Has a really thick shell on top.
Catch those with your catfish poles.
Right. And you throw the pole away.
Noodling for them.
Definitely not.
You're fishy, 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 fishy.
That'd be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, you definitely would be Luke.
Go ahead. On to.
What happened to you? Oh, nothing. Can't talk about
Have bad feelings.
that.
Seeing the danger, the other clones prepare the Marauder and depart. The Ventarathon overturns their boat and grabs Omega with its tentacles. Ventress frees Omega with her lightsaber and brings Omega to the surface. The two retreat on a capsized boat as the Vethran closes in on them. The Marauder strafes towards the creature, agitating it with pew pew
Choo-choo.
shots. Yeah, I gotta pull this back up because that freaked me out for a second. Ventress says she can handle the Vethran, but her friends are only making it worse because they're basically teasing it.
You're pissing it off when they shoot it.
Yeah, it doesn't really hurt because that shell's so thick. Omega convinces Hunter and the others to stop firing and let Ventress handle the situation. Ventress uses the force to communicate and calm. He says, "My mind to your mind." No, that's the wrong screen.
You should be going to the deep end.
So she convinces it to depart peacefully, and the being kind of its eyes changed and everything. It's like, "Oh, okay, I'm calm now.
Yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
I'm calm. I'm gonna go take a nap. Thanks for putting the nap idea in my head."
Think she slipped in a roofie.
Yeah. And then Crosshair picks them up off of the boat aboard the Marauder, and Hunter even offers his hand to her to let her on the Marauder. He doesn't, no. he didn't trust her a little bit, he wouldn't do
Yeah,
that.
he was kind of gentlemanly about it.
And okay, back at the Cove, interest concludes that Omega does not have a high M count. Maybe.
Sure.
She just doesn't have, she just hasn't reached far enough out. Omega is perplexed, but Wrecker says they will figure it out. We've got this. We'll figure it out. We don't need you. She and Wrecker leave to get some chow. Omega thanks Ventress before leaving. In private, Crosshair tells Ventress she's lying. I know you're lying. I can sense this thing because I'm a sniper.
Yeah.
Just like you can tell the wind direction. Ventress says that if Omega has a high potential, she would have been trained already. But why would she be trained when she's, you know,
she's never had an opportunity to be trained.
Yeah, she was stuck on Kamino, so there would, yeah, and they didn't train the, they trained her how to fight war, but they didn't train her how to use the Force.
Yeah.
And I think mostly because that's, that was a secret, I think that what they did to Omega to give her an M count was kind of an experiment that was a top secret experiment that nobody knew about.
Yeah, well, it was probably the help me out here, the Kamino and Doctor, the her friend,
Nalase.
Yeah, Nalase. Couldn't think of her. I knew it started with an N. Nalase had knowledge of it, and that was probably about it.
Because it, if you remember in the previous season, the one where they went under the water in the tubes and stuff,
mm-hmm.
the tube connected to Nalase's secret lab, where she spent most of her time.
Well, and she also got rid of all of her blood samples, too.
Right.
Once she found out that she was being drawn, she was getting rid of all those,
I
too.
I couldn't understand why Omega didn't catch on to that at all. She's like, why are you doing that? But she didn't catch on that there was a reason.
But there, she wouldn't need to know. She, you know, she's still a kid. She's not thinking about anything.
Right.
Now I'll say like that.
It's
yeah.
For her best interest or keep her safe or whatever.
She's naive still. I mean, she's exactly. That's showing the naivety of her.
So Ventress is lying, says Crosshair, and Ventress says that if Omega has a high potential, she would have been trained. I said that already. And she's leaving, and Hunter refuses to leave Omega, but Ventress warns that the Empire is after Omega and recommends that they leave Pabu as soon as possible. She tells them that they are not safe as they think they are, because I think we're led to believe that Ventress kind of found them through the Force. Because that you can do that kind of thing. And if she can do it, well, we know if Palpatine puts his mind to it, he can do it.
I think that's what she was trying to infer to them, that, you know, there are things that they don't understand that are going to be a problem for them. And so without, you know, giving him information, she's just forewarning them. But whether or not they're going to be taking the hint and realize it or not, I don't know. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Coming up.
And they question her about, you know, her allegiance and stuff. And she says that she's not with the Empire. And this is the line that you were talking about where she has a few lives left of her own.
Yeah, yeah.
And the clones watch her fly away. That's when we see the credits roll. Yeah. Credits roll.
Yeah. So, no, that was a pretty good episode, I think. There was kind of not necessarily eventful, but it tied some things together for some people that are making some connections. Now, does it create some other questions? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it does. And I'm curious, kind of like you, is they have to show her wielding the Force at some point, because either she never figures it out and she gets captured and she just kind of represses it, or she's uses it to help him out of a situation somehow.
For sure. It's kind of like Rey-esque here, you know, with Rey never knowing anything with the Force, but, you know, a lot of correlations between the two characters. Not having any formal training or whatever, or knowledge.
Exactly. So next week is a two-episode week.
Oh, okay, sweet.
And it's there's 15 episodes, like we were trying to figure out. 15 episodes, there's two next week. And then I was wrong. May 1st is the last episode.
Mayday, mayday.
Which is now called The Calvary Has Arrived.
Ooh,
That's a
interesting.
different title than it was before.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't either, but I remember Flash Strike, but Calvary Has Arrived.
I don't think they have that one named yet, possibly.
Maybe.
I wonder who the Calvary is going to
That's probably all the other clones.
be.
I don't know, it could be. I mean,
Leia?
there's got to be a tie-in somewhere, so let's ask for feedback. Somebody to listen.
Come on.
All right, so that's our feedback clip. We have 5 different easy ways for you to give us feedback. One is through email, feedback@kylejohansson.us. You can go on our website, and on the left-hand side, over there, where there, I don't know which side it's on. It's backwards every time. But on that site, there's a link that says feedback. Click on it. There's a form there to fill out, and it'll go directly to us. Actually, all 3 of us will see it when it goes through there, and the first one too. We're also on Twitter at super_duper_pod. We're on the Blue Sky Network at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room is one word, and we're on YouTube, which now YouTube is the place that Google is putting all of their audio podcasts and video podcasts. So both are up there, along with what is it? Spotify is the other one that has video too. And I think with Spotify, when you put the video up there, the audio is not available anymore. I don't know. I can't see it on the list, but it doesn't matter.
I don't know. I watch my, I still listen to it on Amazon. I don't do the video, but the audio.
Yeah, and I was going to show you since you're here. This is good video. But change it to all time because it's better that way. But you saw it was zero.
Oh,
So
yeah.
there's nothing recent.
Yep.
Down here in Ahsoka is the last time somebody actually did anything with
That's weird.
on Amazon,
That's
which
weird. Is it?
I don't think it records it correctly because it never has been. Because you tell me you listen all the
Yeah, I
time,
listened to it at school.
and
So,
even whenever you tell me it never shows.
yeah, like it's weird because I listen to it while I'm working.
It's
Huh.
not correct, you know, like this one here. This is the Indian one.
The blue sky or whatever.
No,
No,
the
it's not blue sky.
Chao Sabin is
Oh,
there.
yeah.
Somehow we got on there. I don't know how. And actually, I think I probably did a search and found something that was popular overseas.
Oh,
Anyway,
excuse me.
this week is the first time that all of our episodes have been on there. You can see
Oh, yeah.
103 episodes. That's our current number. It's always behind a little bit, so I probably when I upload this, it'll be take a couple
Take
weeks
a
for
while
it
to get to show up.
to show up. But
It's got to take a while to make it that far. It's a long ways
it
from here to
was
there.
episode like 5 before they started showing up on here. Then we're on Apple, and of course, like I said, YouTube, and we've been doing pretty good on YouTube. I sent you guys some links and or some pictures and stuff. We're up to, let's see what I refresh. 32 people have viewed episode 8, which is pretty good.
That's awesome.
10 people have listened to episode 8, audio only.
Sweet.
We did get a like this time, which I don't know, that could be Scott too. Scott likes to do that every once in a while.
Wasn't me. Didn't
Yeah.
watch it on YouTube.
And then episode 7, the one before that, we've got 11 people listening, so that's not bad. I mean, 5 or 6 is good enough for me. So I obviously would love to
Yeah.
have 1,000 people, but you know,
Nah, that's too much work.
exactly. I don't want to have to work that hard.
Too much work.
All right.
So
So
50 would be okay. Even 100, but 1,000, yeah. Not yet. Not yet. We're still working.
any other theories you got?
Theories.
They keep changing every time because it you, the new
Well, we
up.
get new information and we get new characters. And
Right.
so I don't know. I'm kind of anxious to see the Ventress and Fennec connection. So, I mean, obviously, well, Fennec said she was going to talk to one of her bounty hunters. So we know that Ventress now is kind of doing the bounty hunting gig.
Well, yeah, and that's
And so,
I was gonna bring that up. So, one of your questions about episode 8 was who was Finnick talking to at the end of the episode, and I'm pretty sure it was Ventress.
So, well, it would make sense, or a mutual connection that they
I
share.
went back and actually listened to it again after I watched the episode, and I was like, she didn't speak. It was just Finnick that spoke, but the way she said it kind of led me to believe that that's why
Tony or whatever.
Ventress showed up. Asajj Ventress showed up.
Well, that's kind of interesting that we're seeing, I guess we're getting a little bit of the backstory of all of these people who were the bad, fighting for the Empire, coming to the realization that the Empire is actually the bad,
Right.
and now they're like having to make not necessarily amends, but they're changing their way of thinking,
Right.
And
Well, because
so,
they all got kind of brainwashed, you know.
and it's given us a little bit of the backstory to that part where, before, I mean, if you were totally into it, you got it, you knew it or whatever, but like me, who was not really necessarily a, diehard into it, had a lot of questions about why, things are happening and
Well,
why characters were the way they were. Now it's kind of explaining it a little bit.
yeah, and I can see that too, a lot with because in the Clone Wars and then the prequels, we see Palpatine kind of doing his thing or whatever, but he's got everybody else fooled, right? He's only got a few people that are questioning what's going on with him. Even the Jedi are fooled, right?
For sure.
So until the reveal of Darth Vader is when the Jedi basically suspect him. Oh, I've got my apprentice now, Darth Vader. They saw it on the tapes and like, oh my gosh, what we've been
What's been
blind to this.
going on,
So
around?
if the Jedi were convinced, then imagine the rest of the galaxy.
Exactly.
Why would they question politicians? Well, that's a different story. You should always question the politicians, but
That's a different podcaster.
we don't have that
Yeah, we
podcast.
don't have that
Time for that podcast at all.
time.
But all right.
No feedback on that, okay?
I think personally myself that they're slowly building a war chest of people that are going to help them do whatever their master plan is at the end. They're going to have Ventress, they're going to have Fennec, they're going to have the other clones that are out there. Captain Rex's crew.
Well, we kind of see that in the movies, like when they're, all from across the galaxy are coming together to go to, make a stand against the Empire. So this is the beginning of that, probably the seeds.
Right, and supposedly Captain Rex's crew is one of the first parts of the
Rebellion.
rebellion.
The
Okay, sure.
rebellion.
They're fund a lot of their funding is done by, all the people that we see. We see Padme and stuff like that. Obviously she's dead at the end of the
Well, and we've
episode,
seen a few
but
senators,
right.
not only this season but last season as well. So
Coochie
there's some
was interesting.
senators that are, thinking something is hinky. They don't have any proof,
Right.
obviously, but they think something's hinky and they're questioning it. But
That's
they have to do it in secret because,
what we saw in Andor too, because Andor is kind of during this time too. It's close but not quite. Anyway, yeah, so
Well, we're seeing it, the ironic part is the people who, were supposed to be doing it for the Empire are the ones that are going to be the ones that take the Empire down.
right.
I mean, that's the ironic part to me, I think.
True, very true. Very ironic. And I mean, they're gonna have to deal with Vader because he's there, definitely. And we haven't really, I don't, the Bad Batch has seen Vader, I think, maybe briefly one time. But maybe it was just Crosshair that's seen him. I can't remember. But I mean, they definitely know,
Well, I know who he is.
they know who Palpatine is too. But I just don't think, they realize how powerful he is, because they don't realize the whole story where, Palpatine organized all of this from the beginning. He's the one that got the clones created. He's the one that, you know, all of it. The whole storyline.
They're just a small little piece of the puzzle, and their piece is really small.
Right.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast.
Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabr.kylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and/or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say goodbye now.
The adios, arrivederci, sayonara, aloha, goodbye, see ya.
Yeah, that's not
good. We'll catch you next week.
It's not there.
Oh, it's not there. Oh, hold on.
Yeah, let's just do the intro. We'll see you guys next week. I'll put this part at the end so we can wave goodbye and whatever. And we'll see you next week. Hopefully, it's two episodes next week.
Two episodes.
Hopefully, we'll have time to get everybody together. It's a little usually more difficult when they have more than one episode during the week. Not to get together, but to produce and whatever. So they gotta split it.
Gotta get time.
Split it.
Time is money. Money is time.
Gotta do twice as much work on the website and all that stuff.
Jeez.
That one week where I had to do three, that was awful.
Techie guys. I don't know what they do with all their time. Nerds.